Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
And here is the pitch swung on and drilled to deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Away back in the monster seats in the deepest part of left center. All rise. Here comes the judge.
Start spreading.
Red Sox have been outscored 10-2 over the last 15 innings of this series with the Yankees. Yankees win on Saturday night at Fenway, and Aaron Judge puts on a Bluetooth speaker, carries it on top of his suitcase, I believe, as he walked down the first base side under the stands at Fenway, blasting New York, New York, blasting Sinatra as he walks through Fenway Park on his way out, the door.
All right.
Swagger.
All right.
And balls.
Oh, I love them.
And in-your-face type of attitude from Aaron Judge that the Red Sox appear to be lacking in this series, according to Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe, who joins us now on the telephone here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Dan.
That was one of the great intros of all time. Thank you, Beetle. That was really good.
You're very welcome.
Hi, Dan.
The Red Sox seem to be lacking what Aaron Judge has, all kinds of swagger. They don't seem to really have that here, do they?
It's a weird thing. I mean, the series is 1-1. So you're thinking, well, that's dead even, right? But it doesn't feel that way, does it? I mean, I don't know what your feedback is back there because I've been in New York for 2 days, but it just feels like it's really tilted in favor of New York, and that could all change tonight. But,
I think it's must-win for them tonight, Dan. Boston.
It feels like it. It's obviously the biggest game of the year for both teams. And, you know, I mean, you can come back and win two straight if you lose tonight. But, yeah, I think that that they need to kind of right themselves. That's why I wrote what I wrote today, which is, you know, put on your big boy pants, start acting like a team that won 108 games. And part of that starts with Mookie Betts standing up. Now, it's a small sample, 1-for-7s. You know, it is what it is. But going back to the Cleveland and Houston series the last 2 years, he's a .242 hitter with no homers, no RBIs in 9 games. So it's time for him to step up.
I said it to Beetle. I said, take away the J.D. Martinez 3-run shot, and that was in the first inning of game one.
Yeah.
What have they done on offense? Nothing.
Yeah, almost nothing. They padded 2 on the board in the third inning of that game. But so it all came at once, and it was like a highlight reel early on. And Betts made the great catch in right field. And
yep.
We're thinking, oh, boy, they're going to, like, just run away from these guys now and demonstrate who the better team is, like when they swept them 4 straight in August. You know, be that team again. And it is. It's a small sample, but it was a tough way to finish the way that things went on Saturday night, because you've had, you know, a day and a half, 2 days to sit on that, and I think it doesn't feel really good. And the Yanks, I think they're on some sort of a, like, 8 in a row at home in the playoffs. This group has been really good. They swept the Astros here last year in the 3 games they played. They've been a very strong home playoff team, and they've got confidence playing here.
What do you think, to go back to Betts for a moment, what do you think his issue has been so far in this series?
Well, like I said, such a small sample, but he missed his pitch a couple times the last 2 at-bats in that last game. You could see him, you know, pop up and slam the bat down, and that's a ball he eats up. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of getting in a stride and not thinking about it too much. And he can hit Severino. He can hit anybody. I mean, he's been really – no one really figured out a way to pitch to him this year, and you can't say that about a lot of guys, so – it'd be a good tone setter if he can, and you know, Severino is a trick or treat guy. I mean, he can go either way on you. You know, no hit stuff or blows up in the first inning. So it'd be good to jump on him early.
Dan, one of the things we were watching going into this series would be the performance of Alex Cora in managing in game, and I thought that it was inexcusable that Eduardo Rodriguez made it to the 9th inning of Saturday night's game. What have you thought about his performance to this point? He obviously made an aggressive move in pitching Porcello on Friday.
Yeah.
He got right to it in pulling Price out on Saturday. I think those were good moves. What about his management of the lineup and pinch hitters and late innings type of stuff?
No, I mean, we were all waiting for Devers to come up, and he delayed it by two at-bats here the other day. I'm not sure where Holt's been. I mean, I know they like Kinsler's defense. I would put Nunez is hitless. He's not Brooks Robinson. You got to put Devers at third base tonight, in my view. And I think it's time to give Holt. Holt was their hottest hitter the last two weeks of the season when everybody else laying down. Yeah, I mean, just get him in there. The whole pitching thing, it's like they've been figuring it out on the fly. Very strange for a 108-win team. All of a sudden, Stephen Wright, who pitched 50 innings all year, is DL'd, and they don't know what to do. It's like their whole plan went down the drain. And they didn't name the Game 3 starter until yesterday. Just very odd. And clearly, they're trying to do what no one else is trying to do, which is win the playoffs without a bullpen. Because you look around, this has just become what baseball is now. And this is going to be a tall order to keep surviving multiple rounds with what they have out there.
Yeah, bottom line, I even peeked in on the other series, and you see Verlander, and you see those bats that Houston has, and you're like, Jesus. I mean, to potentially squeak through this, run into that,
yeah, Houston,
one way or another,
really
you're, I think you're in trouble one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, the baseball, like Tyler Kepner, and evidently Houston took
back
five
to back
pitches off
their
roster.
My God.
They left guys at home that would be better than all of Boston's bullpen guys except for Kimball. I mean, they are stacked out there.
Yeah.
And that's the way you win in 2018.
Dan, I want to give you a stat on Brock Holt. Brock Holt is a pinch hitter this year. 5-for-13, 2 home runs, 2 doubles, a triple, 7 RBI. That's .385 he's batting as a pinch hitter this year.
That's pretty good.
He hasn't made it into games 1 or 2.
Yeah, where's that been? And again, he was scalding hot the last 2 weeks. He hasn't played in a while now. But, yeah, I think I predict he starts at second base tonight. I think they got to do something.
All right.
So that's a big move you make. Put him at second. Nothing at third.
Well, and yeah, maybe Devers
second,
at third.
Devers third. Let's go.
And I'm still not convinced. I mean, if things get sketchy, Porcello out of the pen tonight, I wouldn't be surprised at that. I know he's tomorrow's starter, but, you know, would they dare bring Sale back on 3 days tomorrow if they lose tonight?
What about Price? What do you think happens with him tonight or in any game
going
forward?
He goes to the bullpen, and, you know, he did pitch well out of the bullpen against Houston, the world champs last year. But the fear now is, of course, the Yankees, that they are his daddy, and that in a game five, you're going to bring David Price into a game five. So he may be on the shelf until the next round, which may not happen. But I think if they survive this, he goes back into the rotation and starts, Saturday or Sunday against Houston.
Hey, I don't know if you've checked the AFC East standings, Dan, but it was dire around here a week ago, 1-2. Pats are in first place in the AFC East.
I've pretty much been on board with that. As I said, it's always over by Thanksgiving. We know that.
All right, so, Dan, if the Red Sox lose tonight, you think it's over?
Well, I never say never with these guys, but I've been warning you about this all year. You know that. So the tea leaves are certainly not reading in a good way. I mean, who played better against the field of playoff opponents? You know, which team plays better in the postseason? Which team is built for October? Right now, the answer is the New York Yankees, but we'll see. There's no reason they can't get a couple of good games and bring this thing right back to Boston. They can do it.
All right, Dan. We'll talk to you later this week, okay?
See you, Danny.
Yeah, I'll see you Thursday. Take care, guys.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand from New York, where the Red Sox take on the Yankees tonight in Game 3. Zoe, you're terming it a must-win?
Yeah.
Dan seems to think that it's a must-win. I don't know that it is a must-win. I still think that this team could turn it on offensively and win the last two games. I'm not ruling them out of this thing if they lose tonight.
See, I think
it's going to feel really bad. I think if they lose tonight, it's going to feel horrible.
I think people are going to go nuts if they lose tonight.
Yes.
But they have that one thing, that DNA, that character, is that they never give up. They don't. This team has proven all year, late in games, extra inning games, pitchers left, no pitchers left. You've used everybody off your bench. They will hang. They will scratch. They will claw. There's something about them. There's a no-quit mentality about this team that you got to like and respect. And that's the only thing that could save their ass.
But right, a performance from Eovaldi tonight where you can go deep into the game will be
nice.
Helpful for if they lose and Eovaldi goes deep, that'll be very helpful for games 4 and 5 because they can't They can't wipe out their bullpen and then also expect to sort of have a big comeback here in the series. I just don't think that's possible. So they've got to sort of manage all of that. Quickly, let's talk to Tony, who's in Boston. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, brothers? Listen, I got a quick question for everyone. Why the panic? Each team has won a game. And the other question is, who's starting tonight for us? Does anyone know?
Nathan Eovaldi.
He's definitely starting.
Yes, he is.
Okay. Why not start him, right, if he doesn't do that well, right?
Yeah.
You bring in Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
This kid is fearless, Joe Kelly, all right?
That's
what they need right now against the Yankees.
He's got some fight.
I'll tell you what, you make fun of Tony all you want, he's got a point. Joe Kelly's got balls. He may be terrible most of the time, but at least he doesn't lack for confidence.
I found out two things from these two games. Kelly and Brazzers got balls.
Right now,
bring him in.
Yes, Brazzers.
Brazzers.
Big Brazzers balls there. And get back in the effing box, Sanchez.
Let's go, fat boy.
That and Joe Kelly going out. Yep. Joe Kelly's got a mean streak in him.
Get in there. Tuck that gut in.
Some of that might be contagious.
Yep.
I'll take that from them. They both pitch well.
Give me it. Yep.
So, you know what?
That's fine.
I'll take it. 617-779-0985. Let's get to more of your calls on the Red Sox coming up. Also, the most bizarre tweet I've ever seen from a baseball game came from Peter Gammons on Saturday night.
Someone went cuckoo.
Yeah, someone should have put him to bed. He was past his bedtime.
Playing it zippy.
We'll talk about that next.
Does anyone know?
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All aboard!
Here until noontime today. Bruins getting ready for their home opener over on Causeway Street.
Yeah, let's go Bees.
Yeah, Bees.
Bees at noon.
Let's go Bruins.
My son Bob.
There was a weird tweet from Peter Gammons this weekend that he's catching plenty of crap for because it's just so strange.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, just awful, weird tweet that's, I don't know. Let's try and pick our way through it. What do you think?
Okay.
He tweeted out two nights ago, Saturday night, in the eighth inning of what may be a do-or-die game with the tension of a game seven.
Okay, hooking me in. You got me. You got me, Pete.
All right, there's the lead.
You're covering baseball.
Eighth inning, do-or-die
Red Sox
game.
Yankees. Red Sox Yankees, tight game.
Has the tension of a game seven, even though it's game two of the ALDS. Okay. Neanderthal Fenway Park fans, in quotations, chanting Yankees, and then he puts dash, 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 instead of just writing Yankees suck.
Oh, you can write suck. It isn't lost.
So Neanderthal Fenway Park fans chanting Yankees suck are eerily like those who chant lock her up at a political rally designed to demean female assault victims' trauma. There's a lot of layers to unpack.
I thought the same thing. Like even 20 years ago, too, when this chant was out, or 25 years ago, I'm like, hey, I remember being at a poll and there's that chant.
Oh, man, Peter,
put the phone down, pal.
Sign off.
Get off. Delete.
Sign off. Twitter.
Click.
I'm glad that he worked his way through those pocket tweets that he had for years.
Those were better.
Like with all kinds of gibberish.
Nope.
Characters, nope. Letters, blah, 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 blah.
Those were better.
Yeah, he's managed to stop those. But now he's got these insane tweets while covering a baseball game.
Have you seen the responses to these? I'd say some you can't.
People have
really
written stories about it since Saturday. So, yeah, I'm sure there are many responses. So
we're checking his stability right now.
I do a wellness check on Peter. What the hell are you talking about? Now, I get what he means in that there is chanting and that it's rooting for laundry and that there is tribalism there in sports that is not all that different from what we're getting in politics right now. Here's the difference, though, Peter. In sports, it doesn't mean anything. There are no real world consequences for saying the Red Sox are my team. I love the Red Sox. I hate the Yankees. That's it. It's baseball, dude. That's it. That's all it is. I root for the laundry. I root for my team. I'm loyal to my team and my team only. And the other team, no matter how well they play, they suck.
It's really, really sad that this man who has intently and done a damn good job covering this series between these two historic ball clubs, Red Sox, Yankees, he's covered it way before my feet ever hit the ground here in Boston, and has covered it admirably. To get to this point, to think that resembles the other. Loopy.
Resembles it how? In
loony.
How it sounds?
Loony.
Terrific. Yeah, no, it sounds similar. But over on the political side, if you say, you know, my concern is that people root for politicians and parties the way they do sports teams, and they just don't put any thought into it. They just go with it. Okay, do that on a different day, and don't compare someone who chants Yankees suck to those who demean female assault victims and their trauma. What are you fried? Is your brain still working? What's wrong with you?
It's almost like he was probably engrossed in something else that he wanted to write something about, and then he's kind of covering the Yankees Red Sox on the side, and somehow these two thought processes short-circuited in his head, and he blew it out on one, you know, well-typed and well-thought-out tweet. This was not an accident.
That's so bad.
There's no accident here.
That's so irresponsible. To call fans.
It's a bad day for Peter
Gammons.
It's a bad day for Peter Gammons.
Something that has gone on for decades, to compare them to someone who is trying to demean victims of assault.
And there's not even a victim of defense.
That's special.
Go look at the replies.
That is a special kind of reaching, Peter Gammons.
Well, maybe he just wanted to hot take it out there and get his name out there.
Get him his warm glass of milk and put him to bed, please. Tweeting at 12:18 a.m. That might be the problem right there. Past his bedtime.
No cocktail.
That is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But that's my piece. I'm just giving you my piece on that.
I'm floored by it. Floored by it.
What an insane, insane way of thinking. These Neanderthal Red Sox fans.
Yeah, you Neanderthals. You Neanderthal. Disgusting Boston
you
people.
You Neanderthal yeah. Red Sox fans. Saying, yeah. Now, if you want to criticize people for yelling Yankees suck, hey, why don't you yell it when you actually are winning or doing something?
It's sad that
the Yankees are literally kicking the crap out of the Red Sox in that game the other night. Yeah. It's like, Yankees suck. Well, not tonight. They don't.
It's bad enough that there's a perception that Boston is a racist fan city. You know what I mean? And now you got to deal with this on top of it. You Neanderthal fans chanting
deal
this.
Deal with what? No one's buying in on this.
Nobody's buying on it, but it's just like there's somebody will buy in it that doesn't live here. Huh? Look what they do in Boston. This will be somebody will take this and spin it and say this is a good thing.
Insanity.
This is ridiculous.
John is in Wellesley. John.
John.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey.
What's up?
I was wondering about Mookie Betts in the playoffs, and you guys have been a bit harsh on him. I know you guys doing the analytics and all that, and he's been hitting 143 in the playoffs. I really want to talk about the way Mookie's been affected. I think it's more about just the Yankees performing hell of a postseason. And when we look at truly what he's been doing so far, Mookie Betts, it's not been all that bad. I think we need to just notice how Judge has gotten back in form, and that we weren't expecting this kind of Judge to come up in the playoffs, considering that he is the main reason we swept the Yankees early in August.
Sanchez wasn't available either.
You
don't have any issue with the fact that Mookie hasn't hit.
He's never being too hard on Mookie.
Why?
I don't think it's all down to Mookie. I don't think it's all just down to him. I mean, Alex Cora is not putting in Brock Holt for the first two games. What the hell is he thinking with Brock Holt hitting 500?
You're asking me what's a bigger issue, Mookie Betts not hitting or Brock Holt not making it in? They're both issues. I agree with you on that. But if you think somehow Mookie isn't the bigger issue there offensively, you're crazy.
There's two guys that carry you.
Or you're
a
Mookie
Martinez.
Apologist like most of Boston. And I'm guilty of that too, because who doesn't like Mookie? Everyone loves Mookie Betts.
There's two players that drive this ship from the plate, and it's him and J.D. Martinez.
You can't,
those are two big guys.
You can't be an MVP all year long and then get to the postseason.
MVPs don't do that.
And then disappear. You can't. You can't do that. And then sit there and say, oh, it hasn't been all that bad, being too hard on Mookie. Well, then do anything. Do something. Matt's in Boston on David Price. Hey, Matt.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, did you guys see the Nets in post-game show following Game 2 last night?
I did, two nights ago, and I thought it was embarrassing. I'm like, God,
okay, so they
must have spent 15 minutes telling me how big Ryan Brazier's balls were. Oh, please.
Okay.
Like nothing bad had happened in the game. It was just how great Brazzers was.
Yeah,
on
they
Saturday
kept coming
night.
Back from break with it,
oh,
too,
it
with
painful.
The video. Yeah.
I will say this as we are on NBC Sports Boston. Bring back, like, the emergency post-game coverage, please. I know it's midnight on a Saturday and no one's watching.
I want Ken Mokka back.
And I need it.
All right. Let me just give you another embarrassing moment that happened last night. I'm Saturday night. So,
yes.
So Tom Caron's on the set with Tim Wakefield. And I love Tim Wakefield to death, and he's an awesome guy. But he doesn't know his ass from his elbow when it comes to covering the game of baseball. So Tom Caron asked him after David Price gets knocked around like a seven-year-old who just got thrown out of the candy store and told him you can't have anything for free. Do you trust David Price for the rest of the series? Can you put him in a big spot? And Tim Wakefield says, oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it was the long layoff that he had that caused him to struggle.
Oh,
hey,
yeah,
Tim, get a freaking clue. Did you see this guy in the postseason before? Get a clue, Tim.
Take away.
Good call, Matt.
Very good.
Good call. Oh, you wouldn't believe. By the way, you want to know something about Tim Wakefield? Postseason starting numbers. I'm going to name two pitchers, pitcher A and pitcher B. In fact, I'm going to save this and do it next. You want to hear these stats. I'm going to give you stats,
okay.
Postseason pitching stats of two pitchers, and you tell me who they are. All right? And we'll get to more of your calls, but stay tuned for these stats next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins getting ready for their home opener this afternoon against the Senators. Judd and Bob have the call with coverage beginning at noon on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the award-winning Honda CR-V. Red Sox, meanwhile, will be sending Nathan Eovaldi to the mound tonight in New York as they look to take a 2-1 series lead against the Yankees. New York going to counter with Luis Severino. First pitch is at 7:40. Astros look to complete the sweep against the Indians this afternoon. That one gets underway at 1:30. And the Braves host the Dodgers. Atlanta coming off a 6-5 win yesterday, but L.A. still leads that series 2-1. AFC East yesterday, Dolphins fell to the Bengals 27-17. Jets cruised to a 34-16 win over the Broncos, and the Bills beat the Titans 13-12. Eagles not having as much fun as they did last year, apparently. After their loss to the Vikings, running back Jay Ajayi questioned the play calling, specifically the lack of runs in the first quarter, saying, with the offensive line we have on this team, running the ball like that just doesn't make sense to me. Sports of Headlines brought to you by Bridgewater State University. You want opportunity? Discover what Bridgewater State University has to offer by attending fall preview days. Visit bridgew.edu/campus tour. I'm Tim McConan, Boston's home for Sports 98.5. Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
From Gillette Stadium today on this Monday, holiday Monday.
Happy holiday.
Short show for us today. We're done at noontime today. Appreciate you being with us.
Yep.
Bruins coverage coming up from over at the Garden. I'm going to give you two starters. This is courtesy of Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston on Twitter, at Evan Drellick. Okay? He didn't phrase it like this, but I'm going to phrase it like this. He said, as postseason starter, here's pitcher A, 59 2/3 mm-hmm. innings. Has given up 13 home runs, 12 walks, 52 Ks, and an ERA of 6.03.
Okay.
Who do you think that is, given that this was tweeted out yesterday morning? Those are updated statistics.
Price.
David Price.
Yeah.
David Price has an ERA of 6.03 in his time as a postseason starter. Here's pitcher B. 60 innings, 11 home runs, 31 walks, 44 Ks, and an ERA of 6.45. Also a Red Sox starter, former starter, and those are his statistics as a postseason starter.
Lesser.
It's Tim Wakefield.
Tim Wakefield.
Oh. Tim
Wakefield. Lesser. It's got to be way below.
Yeah, exactly. That's pitcher B, Tim Wakefield. So do you want an explanation as to why he's saying, yeah, send him right back out there. I trust him. They have eerily similar numbers. I have no idea why Drelick tweeted
Doesn't
this.
Doesn't tell you everything.
I don't know why he tweeted this out on Sunday. And so I guess it was some sort of defense of David Price.
Yeah.
That's what it was tweeted for. So
the lone defense.
He's defending David Price by tweeting out that he has eerily similar numbers to Tim Wakefield as a postseason starter, to which I would say to Evan, even though I appreciate his tweet for our personal exercise, I would say, what the hell does one have to do with the other?
Yeah, no kidding.
Tim Wakefield was never your one or two
Plus,
starter.
He's a,
you know, expectations.
Knuckleballer. He's a knuckleballer, which takes him completely out of the question.
Right, but the expectations for Tim Wakefield were never even in the same stratosphere as what they have been and should be for David Price. Tim Wakefield's not a Cy Young Award winner. He's not a guy you go on free agency and give a couple hundred million dollars to. Like, they're not this. Okay. If David Price was your number three or number four starter, what would you say? Oh, he's fine. He had a bad start. He sucks in the playoffs, but he's fine. Who cares? But he's not. He can't be. Back to your phones. Paulie's in the truck. Paulie.
Hey, what do you say, boys?
What do you say?
Sounds like the Republican Party's right in space in Peter Gammons' head. Either that or he's pulled down, you know, a few hours before he goes to bed. Unbelievable. That is retire, maybe.
Okay, very good. Good call, Paul. I can hear about 10% of it, and we got through 17 seconds.
Sounds like self-edited bleeping.
And I heard him say at the end he should retire. And I'm like, okay, good. All right.
Good call.
Dante in Worcester. Dante.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I really think that it's irresponsible of them to compare sexual assault allegations to Donald Trump and the Hillary Clinton lock-her-up chants because, first of all, they're not in the same stratosphere. Lock-her-up has to do with her emails and all that. That's not even a sexual assault thing.
Right, unpack the whole tweet. It's wrong in a lot of ways.
We're not going down this line.
Yes.
All right, guys. And also, I want to say David Price is such a bum. They could get him out of here. I don't really care what they do with the contract. The fact that these guys make that much money and they stink, they should give it to Gresh for all the services.
Okay, I don't know what this idiot's talking
about.
Give it to
Gresh.
Yes, please, go for it. Call was all over the place. Tim is in Marlboro. Tim, what do you got?
Hey, all I got to say is I think Kelly's going to shine and Mookie Betts will be back. You know, he's not gone. He's just, you know, I think they just need a little rest. And, they, you know, a couple games gone sour a little bit.
Rest and a whole week off?
Yeah.
So how much more rest do you
I like I like Kelly. I think Kelly's a fireball. When he's hot, he's hot.
Yeah, he's extremely streaky. The problem is you have no idea when it ends. That, to me, is the biggest concern. Like, you could put him out there tonight. As Jim said earlier, do you have any real confidence that he's going to continue to be good? And I'm like, no, not at all. Why? Should I be? Should I have any sort of confidence? And I don't think anybody should. So, you know, we'll see. As Dan Shaughnessy wrote, Mookie Betts needs to start playing like the MVP. Betts has been a silent 1-for-7 over two games, while Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez have been rounding the bases after hitting prodigious homers in 9 playoff games over 3 years. Mookie Betts is .242, no home runs, no RBIs. That's not Mookie Betts. He's better than that. No home runs, .242 over 9 games. That's not Mookie Betts, the MVP we saw all year long. Paulie's back. You got a better spot now, Paulie?
How's that sound? That better?
Much better. What do you got on Betts?
Okay. Did you hear me on Gammons?
Yes. No.
He needs to retire, that guy. Something wrong with him. Anyway, yeah, the Republicans are running space in his head. But Mookie Betts, I spoke with your producer before Dan Shaughnessy got on, and I alluded to the first thing I referred to was his missing that hanging curveball. That's in a nutshell. And when he popped it up, and that's what, and Shaughnessy mentioned that himself. That's in a nutshell where the Red Sox offense is gone. That's the problem right now. They've basically gone to sleep since the third inning of that first game.
But having said that, and looking at the history of this team, when the money's on the table, this team in this particular year, when the money's on the table and things are tight, these guys will step up and they'll swing the bats like there's no tomorrow. So you can expect it. I think I believe that you can expect that tonight and tomorrow, particularly tonight. I think they're going to come right out and get at you. They know it's time to go, and this is one cohesive unit. It has been. I've mentioned that after it was right after the Tampa Bay series, the first serve of the year.
Yeah.
These guys will love each other. This team has chemistry, and I noticed that right away. I spoke on that early the following week.
You're talking about this team.
He is. Come on, so don't beleaguer it. Just look.
I get confused. I mean, it was going like, was it this year's team?
He believes they have chemistry. He believes.
Yeah, I do too. I said that earlier. I said there's something about this team. There's a DNA gene in them that allows them to not quit, that has them fight. And, you know, I can't tell you how many countless games this year where 10th, 11th, 12th, they're hanging. They're going to end up winning it.
Mookie Betts' career against Luis Severino. He's got 8 for 30, batting 267, 2 runs batted in, 4 doubles.
Did you watch that playing game between the A's? Severino was Dylan, man, but he just had an attitude about him and just, you know, staring it down and just he felt it. And you tell wow, he's pretty freaking good when he's on. But they've hit him before.
Benintendi, lifetime in 27 at-bats, has batted over 400 against Severino. Mm. So that's something to look for tonight.
As long as the bat doesn't stay on this thing.
He's got a couple of home runs. He's got 10 RBI. Benintendi has beat up on Severino. So that's a positive. All right? Today could be the day. J.D. Martinez. You know what J.D. Martinez's batting average is?
What?
Against Severino? 412.
Yeah.
With an OPS of 974. It's 1281 for Benintendi against Severino. Some of these guys have gotten to him before. Did you have a football thought you wanted to share today? We only have one more segment.
Yeah.
You did.
Okay, so
hold on to it. That's my point. We'll get to your football thought and try and get some more calls in here before we depart at noontime. We'll get to that next.
Sounds good.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 985 The Sports Hub.
Zoe's going to get to a football thought momentarily. Gil's on the highway today. Gil.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Gil.
Hey, Gil.
I think the reason Evan tweeted that out was because there was a chart that showed the worst ERAs in playoff history. And number one was some guy, Jared Wright. And number two was Tim Wakefield. And number three was David Price. So that kind of shows you, like, you know, what we have with that guy.
One of the worst ever in the playoffs. Jared Wright, top of the list, huh? He must have had some really bad implosions back there in Cleveland. I don't remember that. Jared Wright sucked in the playoffs.
You don't remember when they brought him back on short rest to try to close out the Red Sox, and then the Red Sox came back and had that? That was part of that. It was him. Was it Cologne back then?
Yeah. Cologne was there, yeah.
Yeah, like he was part of that team. Then they brought him back, I think, on short rest. Hargrove did to try to close out the Red Sox.
Mike Hargrove. That was a great series, though. Oh, the series that the Red Sox won.
Who's the other guy? Carmona?
Never forget. Didn't they?
Carmona was like 07.
Much later.
That was 07. That was later.
Fausto.
Fausto. Carmona was the
later changed his name.
The widget games with
back to his real name.
Tom just said Nagy.
The little bugs
teams too.
Yes.
With Chamberlain. Carmona was the Chamberlain one with
never
the little
forget.
Fleas.
Well, they walked Nomar to get to O'Leary, and O'Leary hit the home run, right?
Jesus.
Yes, the grand slam. Troop's best call ever.
Mabel's in the car.
Mabel. Hi, Mabel.
Good morning.
Hey.
What's up?
I have no words. I have absolutely no more words.
The
fourth
travel?
And what's one, the overtime. You win the toss in overtime, okay? Yeah. You make a brilliant defensive stop. You have a shot to win this game. You win the toss for the overtime.
Yeah.
Fourth and one. Jason Garrett does not go for it. Please explain this to me, because I, at this point, have no words. Did. None whatsoever.
Did. You just said it. You just explained. You said
he's a loser. Garrett. He's a loser.
Said Jason Garrett.
He's more worried about clapping and taking a little play sheet and put it in his pants and, you know, high-fiving guys when they come off. You got to roll the dice here.
Bad Sunday night matchup
score.
Last night. I couldn't get into
play
that
game. Five quarters again.
Could you get into that game?
I was in and out, and I even tweeted out. I said, wow, Cowboys look terrible. They're in trouble. Then they made a stick because at least Billy O'Brien, Mabel, had the balls to go for it down inside the five, and Deshaun Watson gets knocked out of bounds by like four guys, and they drilled him. I said, okay, maybe the Cowboys aren't in trouble yet.
What's your football thoughts from yesterday?
Football thoughts. I watched a lot of Kansas City, guys. We're going to be doing a lot more Kansas City as this week progresses. A lot of other games across the league too. Like Philadelphia can't get out of their own way. They got a Super Bowl hangover.
They do. They're cooked.
Tell you what.
They are cooked, friends. I knew it.
Baker Mayfield makes me want to watch the Cleveland Browns. I go out of my way. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my watch.
How great was that overtime?
I got nothing to do with my kids home from college. There I am, and I said, look at this. I am sitting on my couch feverishly watching the Cleveland Browns because of one guy and one guy only, and it's Baker Mayfield. And that is good for football. Miami is who we thought they are. They got up big on Cincinnati. They came back. And then I watched Kansas City. And why, Blake Bortles, couldn't you have played like that against us? Why couldn't the old Blake Bortles have come back against the Patriots? This Mahomes kid, he'll turn it over. No touchdowns, two picks. But, you know, threw a pick six. The other one did Bortles. And defense scored for them. So they lost. Hey, here's my point. Three of those defensive starters got knocked out of that game and were ruled not to return. This is exactly what I wanted to happen. I wanted Kansas City to win that game so they come in here sky high, flying high, but I also want them to get their ass kicked physically. Get beaten, get bruised, have a couple guys nicked. Eric Berry didn't play in that game. We'll see if he plays this week. And guess who opens up a 3.5-point favorite? The New England Patriots. All is right in the world. How does that happen? That's the best team in football.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. If you like Kansas City and you're getting them plus 3.5.
Start loading up.
I don't know if that line has moved today. I haven't checked it, but.
Jim Lyle said something interesting on the over-under. There's a potential record for an all-time over-under high in this thing.
They're already
the second highest.
It's
58.5.
58.5. Oh,
I bet it comes down.
It's got to come down.
Although
90% of the money is on the over right now.
Never mind. Then no, it's not. That's impressive. I'll tell you what, this is going to be a game of no defense.
A game of no defense. We played none.
Might have to win in a shootout. That might be the way it goes. How about the fact that the Falcons are 1-4? Tell me you're not loving that. Remember back in camp, we were playing all that Falcon sound, and I said, I just can't wait. I want to root against this team and watch them lose.
It's two teams I root against.
I'm rooting against the Eagles this year, and I'm rooting against the Falcons, and it's going great. It's going
Eagles
great.
Eagles and Falcons.
It's going. And by the way, love that Chucky is 1-4 in Oakland.
And love awful. That. As good as Tennessee has been over the last couple weeks, you know, grinding out wins, finding a way to win at the end of a football game, they couldn't have screwed it up more at the end of the Buffalo game. And I'm telling you, watch a little bit of that kid, too. That kid can run. Josh Allen is a big boy, but he does not hesitate to run, and he'll try and lower his shoulder and run you over.
Can I tell you something
over you?
About an AFC team?
Can't throw.
Yeah.
An AFC team that is record-wise.
But they won.
Emerging as a possible playoff team, that is the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to tell you, I am going to root for the Bengals all year long because if they make the playoffs,
they are
no threat to anybody. So you can root
divisional
for,
round, divisional round, divisional
about,
round, divisional
the Bengals
round.
All year long because that team will do jack squat when it's the playoffs.
Oh,
so
we'll
just
get to see that caveman of an announcer.
Go for it. Yeah. Bring Lapham in here.
Where's Bertrand?
Where is he?
I don't need food.
Did you play in the NFL? Did you play in the league? Where did you play?
How about Hardy's Lions? Matt Patricia.
0-3
against the rest of the league, 2-0 against Rodgers and Brady.
That team is not falling apart. Right.
That's it.
That's a credit to Matt. And how about Graham Gano hitting a freaking 63
yada?
Dude.
Graham Gano.
That thing would have been good from 70.
I know. Well, I would say
hit the net.
I'd say like at least 67.
Oh no, it didn't fall off. 67.
Yeah,
I'll give
you
67.
Like, it was definitely he had yards to spare.
Oh, it hit the net.
Yards to spare.
My God. What
I'd
a kick.
At least
what a kick.
A few more yards added on.
This is a good quick show here. As we get you set for Bruins.
If you missed any of it, head to our website, 985thesportshub.com, or get the 985thesportshub app.
Podcast that.
Get our podcast at any time. listen to our podcast. You can get the show there in its entirety.
You sure can.
So if you missed any of this 2 hours, why don't you re-rack it for yourself? Go back and have a listen. Red Sox game 3 tonight. We'll be talking about it tomorrow.
Yep.
Looking forward to that.
Early start, 6:30 tonight.
Yes, yes. Everybody can get to bed at a reasonable hour. All right, Bruins coverage from the Garden coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Let's go Beavs.